show is being sponsored by Once Upon a Time Travel Agency. Jim, Kim, and their staff are all Disney-trained travel agents who are able to make sure you get the best deals for whatever Disney destination you might have in mind. From Florida to California, France, Japan, or even a cruise, they will plan everything with you and then book it. And I save the best for last. The cost of the service is free, so stop by their page on Facebook or give them a call at 504-304-4904 and start planning your trip right now. If you mention that you heard them on our show, you will get a park touring guidebook of your choice when you book your trip. Once Upon a Time Travel, they make your Disney vacation magical.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 51 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Jimmy.
And this is Ed.
So, tonight it's just me and Ed. And with our trip coming up very shortly, we figured we would talk about the things we do to prepare for a trip. And when we do them. Ed, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. And as Jimmy mentioned, we're only about 2-3 weeks away. No, only a couple days over 2 weeks for me, and less than 2 weeks, I got to think, for Jimmy.
Yeah, for me, I'm like 8 days.
Oh, awesome. And we were discussing beforehand kind of the things we do at different points in the trip planning stages. So we figured we'd talk about that tonight.
Before we get started and going into what, you know, our planning and timeline, I did want to bring up, because one of the things we were talking about before we started the show is how excited we are about our upcoming meets. This will be the first time that all of us are there at the same time. On my last trip when I was down in April, I did get to meet Sam down, but that was only for one day, and it was kind of on the fly, and we really didn't have any time to plan anything. So this trip, we have two meets planned. Ed, you want to tell them about the first one?
Oh, sure. On Friday night, October 3rd, we're going to get together over at Epcot and watch Illuminations. The plan is that we're all going to meet over on the bridge next to Mexico around 9 o'clock, we figure, since the fireworks that night are scheduled for 10 o'clock. And we're going to hang out, maybe get a margarita or check out some of the food stands, and maybe talk a little Illuminations before it starts.
And then on Saturday morning, at about 10 o'clock, we're going to meet in Epcot on the World Showcase side of the Fountain of Nations. And we're going to do a scavenger hunt. Ed has put a lot of work into making this scavenger hunt very, 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 I wouldn't say very difficult, but very interesting. And not everything's going to be very easy to find, but we'll have prizes. Not only will we have prizes for the winner and the runner-up, the team, those teams, but we'll also have some small giveaways just for people who show up to either one of the meets.
Oh, yeah, it's sure to be fun. Some Disney Nerds accessories, perhaps, and maybe a Disney pin or two.
So I don't know about you, Ed, but I'm very, very excited. I'm really looking forward to it and can't wait.
Oh, I know. I totally hear you. I'm in total Disney gotta-go mode right now. And that's why this show is kind of nice, because as much as it's fun to kind of tell our friends what we do and to help them prepare, it's going to be kind of a little checklist for myself, too.
Another thing, talking about the meet on the 3rd, Friday night, the Illuminations meet, is Sam will be there as well, who is the Illuminations expert. So he'll also be there for anybody who wants to listen, kind of just going through exactly the narration and kind of the story behind Illuminations. We did a show a while back on that, but he'll be there talking about all the different pieces of it. And he's very, very knowledgeable, so it's pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He loves to talk Illuminations. Just ask his kids.
I bet they're tired of hearing it.
So we hope to see you there. If you're living down in the Orlando area or you happen to be lucky enough to be on vacation at that time, definitely stop by and say hello and introduce yourself. We really want to meet you.
If you want more details, please go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thedisneynerds or the Disney Nerds group, and go to either one of those and look in the event section. And we have those. We have all the details listed there.
Okay. So now let's get to probably the second favorite thing as far as a Disney trip, and that's the planning of it. Second only to the actual going, of course.
Sure.
But we figured we'd put together kind of a timeline or, I guess, kind of check marks, where as you're starting to plan your trip to Walt Disney World, certain things probably should be checked into or checked out or basically reserved.
Is your suitcase out of the attic yet?
Right. Things like that.
No, I meant you. Is your suitcase out of the attic?
No, it's not, but it's going to be soon.
Okay.
No. It's 2 weeks Thursday, so I figured after this weekend, this is pretty cool, because one of the first things I do when we get close to the trip is I'll really clean my office. And basically what that does is gets everything in its place and gets it all kind of very clean so I can start putting stuff on the floor and then putting things out I'm going to pack. But you know what? We're really getting ahead of ourselves. Let's start at the beginning, which is a very good place to start. And let's talk about what we do in the beginning when we start planning a trip. The first thing I would think is you really have to come up with your dates of when the trip's going to be.
Figuring out what time of the year you would like to go is important. If you're not sure, that would be a good time to maybe talk to somebody who does a podcast, maybe. Be a great time to email them or maybe ask a question within a group like the Disney Nerds, which has almost 11,000 members, or talk to a travel agent like myself. And just get an idea of what are the good times of year to go for when you can go, because not everyone can go any time of the year.
True. Very true. With a teacher schedule the way I have it, it's very, very difficult to get time off during the year. So the summertime is mainly for me, but many other people don't have that constraint, so they can go anytime. In a nutshell, we figure, at least in my opinion, September, a little early October is a great time. November after Thanksgiving, before Christmas, into December is a great time. After spring break is another great time to go.
Pretty much any time the kids are in school,
yeah,
is a good time to go to Disney.
Sure. Very much so. So now we're going to kind of keep flashing back onto the trip we have coming up in a couple weeks. And for this one, I actually started planning this one out about 8 months ago. I knew I was going to be going down on this weekend because of the Be Our Guest podcast's Epic October. So I started working with my superiors at work on getting the time off, because I told you it's really difficult with a teacher schedule to get time off.
Yeah, this is really going to be a treat for you to be down at this time of the year compared to when you usually can go.
Oh, definitely. And kind of tied into this is the next thing I'll do is once I kind of figure on the time of year I'm going to go, I'll hit the crowd calendar over at the touringplans.com website. And I have a membership to that website. I've had it for the last 5 years, and I'll probably get it a couple more. The information that I get on that website is very, very valuable and very accurate. We've definitely gone to the parks and tested it out as far as their lines, apps, and such. But I use their crowd calendar. They use statistics, which is really great, over the last couple years. And they use basically the trends the crowds are showing right now. If there's a new ride at a new park, if there's a new ride at a park, they're going to calculate that into their crowd calendar. So I'll check the crowd calendar. And for this time of October that we're going, the 2nd through the 7th for me, we have crowd calendar numbers of 2, 3s, and 4s, which is great. In the summertime, we deal with 9s and 10s. And I'm hoping there's going to be a big difference.
I use the Touring Plans crowd calendar as well. And I use it almost more like to fine tune. Like this year, we knew that we wanted to go down for the Food and Wine Festival. We knew that it went, somewhere between the end of September through the middle of November. And then I'll go look on the crowd calendar and find out what's going to be the best week. And that's how we ended up going the last week in September / first week of October.
And another cool thing about the crowd calendar is you can kind of figure out some trends sometime. And what I mean by that is the Friday we're going to the Magic Kingdom, it's a 1 or a 2 on the crowd calendar. It's incredible.
What?
It's incredibly low. The reason was it's the Mickey's Not So Scary that night. So they basically start dumping people out of the park around 4 or 5 o'clock, and you have to leave at 7 if you're not going to the party. So a lot of people don't tend to go to the Magic Kingdom at all that day. So,
sure, especially for people without park hoppers. It's almost a waste.
Right, definitely. You lose a quarter of your day or a third of your day. Yeah. So the crowd calendar helps you out, and it definitely helps you plan to figure out which of the days you want to get down there. So I always check that out. And you know what? TouringPlans.com, of course, is named Touring Plans, and we'll definitely talk about that in another show. But for the planning part of it, awesome crowd calendar.
Do you, just curious, do you try and take in refurbishments and stuff? I know it's tough to do if you're planning anywhere in the distant future because you don't know what they're going to be.
Right.
But do you try and take in refurbishments? Does that come into play, or just go, you plan your trip, and it is what it is?
It is what it is. They don't usually have too many major rides down at the same time. They do plan that out very well.
Yeah, you're right.
As far as, you know, unforeseen breakdowns, they can't help. But for the refurbs, they tend to not do too many at once. And so we don't lose too much. We're not going to have the steam engine when we're down there in October, which is kind of a loss, but
pretty upset about that, actually.
And we're going to be running around a little bit this trip. So, well, you'll be there longer than me, so I understand that. For my trip, I think it's going to be a little bit more running this time around, so the train, that's not a big thing.
Do you think maybe we can make it over to Animal Kingdom and go ride that little train over there?
Sure. Sunday I'm planning on going over there, so you're going to be driving home.
Yeah, well, okay.
So now, a couple other things we do far out, once we have the dates of our trip, another thing to do is start checking your airfares if you're going to be flying. That's something you could do as far out as you can, really. And depending on what airline you book with, you might have ways to kind of maybe change your trip dates or change your times down the road or even get better rates, I guess is what I'm looking for. But it tends to be that you get better rates further out, at least in this time chunk for airfare, but it keeps changing.
I typically will plan to drive. Periodically, I'll still go check the airfare rates on Southwest. Oddly enough, Southwest and AirTran, which is now owned by Southwest, are the only two airlines that fly direct from New Orleans to Orlando. Okay. All the other ones, you'll either have a layover in Houston or Atlanta. So if you're going to do a layover and all that, I just assume drive.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, I periodically do go check Southwest because sometimes you can get a good deal on a flight through Southwest. I will say, for us, it does, like, my wife doesn't like to fly. If she feels like it hinders her shopping ability, if we're in Disney and she wants a snow globe or a piece of art or something like that, it's tougher.
Oh, sure. And you're dealing with all the extra fees on your baggage, so you have 50 pounds. Don't want to push it over 50 pounds. And if you're going for a week or an extended trip, you're definitely going to have a lot of luggage.
Yep.
So I understand that. I like the freedom of having a car because you could put everything you want in the back of it, including things you might not use, but it's kind of cool to have anyway.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, another thing we might do this far out, and I kind of recommend it, is to choose your hotel also. Now, what's cool about it in that Disney, if they do have deals that come about after you've booked your hotel room, you could usually take advantage of those hotel deals, those rate deals, and bring your rate down once they get announced. Now, Jimmy, being a travel agent, knows all about this, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I do go with a travel agent, is because they do that all the time. They're always looking to see if the rates will change. You were telling me before the show, you were even checking on your own trip this time around.
I was just happened to be one night, and I booked my trip under the annual pass discount, which you would think, hey, annual pass discount, you got it, so that's it. But I happened to be just kind of messing around on my tablet while we were watching something on television, and I was really just kind of looking to see if maybe another hotel would have been available at a good deal or whatever, and then but I ended up looking at my own hotel. All-Star Movies, and it was $60 cheaper than what I had paid. So Monday morning, I had called Disney, and I said, hey, look, take a look at it. And she said, yep, you're right. And they credited me $60.
Well, and that's a total reason why you got to keep checking. And we'll talk about that as we get closer to our trip also. Now, the next plateau we kind of figured on is at the 6-month mark to about the 2-month mark. And mainly at that 180-day mark is when you can start making your dining reservations. If you're staying on property and you have a dining plan, this is the time to start. Now, what's cool about it is that you're not stuck with these reservations that you make now. What you're doing is if you're going during the summertime or a crowded time of the year or a holiday time, you're making sure that you have a sit-down meal you can use with your dining plan if you have that level of dining plan. You don't want to be stuck with only a couple choices the closer you get to your trip. Now, along with that, I kind of have on my list, because I usually rent a car when I go down there. Now, at that 6-month mark is when I start looking for a car rental. And even with that, I'm still going to keep looking up until right before I leave to see if there's better rate changes. Now, this year, for example, was very strange in that the rates for 5-day rental were pretty incredibly high coming up until about maybe 2 weeks ago. And I kept checking through the different boards and sites that do have coupon codes. And I finally found a combination that got my car down from $300, $336 to $106. $106 for the 5 days after seeing these big prices. And I even went on a couple days later, and wouldn't you know it, it was back up to $330 again. So you got to keep looking and you got to keep playing the game. Double check that you can definitely cancel your reservation with no penalties. And you kind of got to play the game with that a little bit.
I agree. That's it. That's amazing, by the way, that you got a rental car for $100. I mean,
that
makes it a no-brainer.
I still can't believe it. As far as I keep looking at the reservation, it's like, did I screw this up? Did I have the wrong dates, or did I, you know, is it for a day?
Did I reserve it for like 6 hours?
Right. And it keeps coming up, you know, good. So I keep crossing my fingers. I won't have a problem when I get on the line. And it is with the main major company, so I'm not leaving the airport. That was another issue in that I don't want to rent a car off property, because I have a hard time dealing with those guys, because they kind of have you by the short ones when they get you off property, you know, by a shuttle, especially when I'm going to be getting into the airport late at night. So very happy with that situation. But the moral of the story is you got to keep checking. One other thing I have in this plateau at the 6-month period is kind of, if you didn't get a package with Disney as far as tickets go, you might want to look for tickets now. You don't want to wait any longer, because hopefully not, a price change might happen in the time you're waiting to buy tickets. What's cool about Disney tickets is you can buy them, and as long as you don't use them, they're good. Once you start using it that first day, that's when your clock starts ticking on your 2 weeks or however it is for the time limit on the ticket.
As a travel agent, obviously I can sell tickets to Disney, and I don't mind. I don't mind accommodating anyone. But to be honest with you, Undercut the Tourist is probably the best place if you're just looking for tickets, because they do sell them at a discount, which is really rare for Disney. They don't offer a lot of discounts on just tickets. You don't see that very often.
Right. And now here's the extra special tip to that tip. If you subscribe to the MouseSavers.com newsletter, they have a link that goes right to Undercover Tourist, and you even get more of a discount. I did that this time around. I bought my tickets through Undercover Tourist with the Mouse Savers link, and I saved an extra $5 off the price it would have been just at Undercover Tourist.
Wow.
$5 a day. Yes.
Nice.
So basically what happened was I saved enough for another meal by going to Undercover Tourist. They sent me the tickets. It got to my house within 4 days after I made the order. Even I know they say it's up to 2 weeks. 4 days later, I have received it. It's on a piece of paper in cellophane. There's the ticket on it with the number available for me to see, with the description of the ticket on the back, because they make a big deal about you verifying it. And I've already connected it on my Disney experience. So I can't wait to use it. It came as a card, which I'm going to connect, I guess, to my Magic Band. So I'm still working on that.
Yep.
Now, can you do that on my Disney experience, or do that at the park?
I think they have to do that once you get there.
Okay.
When you check in, we'll have them link it all together.
Because it seemed like it was, because it's on the site, it has my number for the ticket on there.
Yeah, it may automatically be linked because it's all connected in my Disney experience, but I'm not 100%, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, that's something we're going to find out. Okay, so now that was that plateau, and now we're going to move on to about the 2-month plateau to about the 2-week area. So now at 2 months, if you're staying on property, I believe 60 days, you can start making your FastPass reservations?
That's correct.
Awesome. Which is kind of a misnomer. This is the first time I'm having a chance to do it. And because I was staying off property, I waited to the 30-day mark. Now plans have changed and I'm going to stay on property for a couple of days. So I wasted the time, but I really didn't mess the time up because looking at the different fast passes, I'm probably not even going to keep the ones I have now. I'm probably going to be switching them up anyway.
Sure, you end up adjusting them.
Right. I got my major ones, which means I'm guaranteed a ride on Soarin' the day I'm planning to be on Epcot. I'm guaranteed a ride on Toy Story Mania the day I'm going to be in Hollywood Studios, the things right. like that. But as far as those satellite rides around it, I don't think I'm going to need a Fast Pass for a lot of them. So I'm hoping
you won't
play with it.
Yeah, you won't. You won't. That's true.
Very cool. Now, something else you can do, and Jimmy definitely helped me with this, is how soon before the trip can you do your online check-in?
I think now it's 30 days. It used to be 10 days.
That's what I thought. It was really small, but when I finally got registered, it sounded like it looked like I could do it already.
I think now it's like 30 days you can go do the online check-in. Now, with that being said, that's if you just want to check in online, and there's a couple little requests that you can put on there. So if you want something specific like I do, we have a preferred room, and I'm hoping to get ground floor like facing the pool. And a lot of that's because we like to decorate our window and stuff like that. We put lights in our window and stuff like that. So we want it to be seen. Something like that, you call just a couple days before, and you can talk to the resort directly and put in a request.
Right. And they try to do their best. We've done that at the Pop a couple times, and they've honored it. The twice that we've actually specifically asked for places. Not the exact room, but close enough that we didn't care.
Sure.
Now, some of the other things you do at online check-in are some of the things you do at the... when you check in. You still have to go to the front desk when you get to the hotel. This does not keep you from doing that. What it does...
Let me just say that real quick, and I apologize for cutting you off.
Oh, but, sure, no.
There is a separate line when you go into the lobby.
Right.
So there is a sign that says online check-in, so you don't go get in the regular line because your stuff is all ready.
Right. Now, online, you basically give them your credit card that you're going to be billing stuff to and the purchases and stuff like that. So that's why it's really cool that you get to the front desk, they check your name, your credit card license, and then they hand you the pamphlet.
I'm wondering if they're eventually going to get to a point with Magic Bands and all where you just check in online and they text you your room number and you go.
True, because you already have the key.
Yep.
Wow.
Where you bypass the front desk and...
Yeah, I don't know. I think they got to at least see the people checking in once. But, yeah, you never know.
Just to check your ID. Yeah, you may be right.
Right. Now, we've hit the two-week mark, and we've done all our checks. We're going to recheck our reservations again with the airline, with the car rental. I'm going to double-check my numbers online now, which is great with Disney to reconfirm our reservations. And now we're going to get to the point where we're going to start packing or thinking about packing a little bit more seriously. I usually wait the 2 weeks because if I start thinking about it earlier, I start driving myself crazy because then you start thinking too much. So I like to wait to the 2 week mark. And this is the point where I try to make sure that A, I have a pair of sneakers or two pairs that are going to be cool for the trip. I don't have to worry about that now. And you can even do that earlier than this. You can start checking weather. 10 days is normally where you get good weather reports, but you can start trying to get a feel of what the weather is going to be like a couple weeks out.
Sure.
At least temperature wise. And start planning for that. Okay, so we'll do our packing. Now, one of the traditions I have when I pack, this goes back 10 years ago at least, I went and found the Ultimate Walt Disney World Packing List. It's actually called the Disney World Vacation Ultimate Packing List. Okay, and I found that on ourlaughingplace.com. Now, that's a website that's been around for a while, and they've had a lot of good information, and we're probably one of the first sites that came across way back when the internet was a little new. And this packing list is very great in that it covers everything. It's got categories, the normal packing stuff, but then it's got the travel paperwork category, the travel with babies and kids, a first aid section, car trip if you're going with the car, a day bag for a park, a day bag for the water park, things like that. Now, I got to admit up front, it's getting a little dated. It still has camcorders on it and PDAs and such. But the list as it is a great base. Now, that being said, for this trip by myself, I'm probably not going to use a list like this. But when I go with the family, every time, definitely.
I don't know that we ever use a list. But, you know, to your point, I think every year I've been there, every time I've been to Disney, I end up buying chapstick from one of the counters in the parks, and I end up buying Tylenol or ibuprofen.
Right.
So I end up paying way too much for it there because I don't use a list.
Oh, sure. And that's a matter of you live and learn with it, and if you're okay with that, that's fine. You know, it's just your style.
Yeah.
But I would be mad at myself if I didn't have aspirin, because that was such a simple thing you could take from home.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's really cool to have that list, and it's kind of nice to take the responsibility off you, because like I said, this is an incredible list. And you can find many more of them on the internet. There's plenty of them out there.
I have this great packing thing. It kind of predates the internet, and it's called My Wife.
Well, the more so, I won't have that.
I am blessed enough that she normally takes care of most of the packing, and usually she does it she'll get the suitcases out about 2 weeks before, and, you know, be honest with you, with all the trips we do, and as frequently as we go, we each have clothes that we kind of don't wear, that's our clothes that we wear in Disney.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff is, you know, ready to go. And then just as she does laundry and, she'll chunk stuff in the suitcases. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you need to pack for the parks, meaning what are you going to use in the parks when you go down there? And again, it's a lot of simple things and it's a lot of common sense. People bring ponchos down with them because they cost a dollar at the Walmart or the dollar store, as opposed to $7.50, I think it is, for a poncho right now.
Yeah, maybe more than that. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never bought one. I actually take, and this is cool, I don't like ponchos because, you know what, the way it rains in Florida, it hits the ground and it comes back up anyway. So everybody's getting wet when it rains. There's nothing you can do about that. I take a little mini umbrella. It fits in my camera bag. And you know what? If I got to get between two buildings or something like that, at least it keeps the major downpour off my head. But
sure,
you're getting wet from the waist down regardless.
Yeah, you're right.
And you got a plan for that too. Two pairs of sneakers, extra pair of shoes.
I would tell you, one of the biggest things I've learned is that I bring usually at least three pairs of tennis shoes, sneakers, and rotate them. Because just from being in them all day, and you almost need to give them a day or two rest just to dry out in the room, because they'll kill your feet. And I think just different shoes, not wearing that same type of shoe every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a Nike is going to fit your foot different than a New Balance or a Adidas shoe. So changing that up and not walking on those same pressure points multiple days in a row.
Oh yeah,
changes the comfort level.
Didn't think of that. That's cool.
So that's I definitely always bring to it, probably three or four pair of tennis shoes.
Right, and I have tested out the whole wives' tale or the old story about if you get your sneakers wet, you put newspaper into them overnight and it dries them out. It has worked.
It does work, absolutely.
What's really nice about Walt Disney World and the Kissimmee area now is that if you do have a car, you are really not out of luck. They have Walmarts down there now, and it's not that far from the park. And if you really had to get something you forgot, you do have a little bit of an opportunity to get off property and get it at a reasonable price.
When we were there at Easter week, the first two nights we were there, we stayed off property at a Radisson.
Okay.
It's right on 192, and I'm telling you, it's within, you probably throw a rock and hit Disney property from it. And it's not very far down the street. There's a Publix right there. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you definitely, you have to. It's not a bad idea to grab a case of water or something like that from one of those places before you get on property.
Oh, sure. And one of the stores we have up north is a convenience store called Wawa. It's like a coffee store, but you can get a lot of different things in there. And one of the things they have that we kind of have the family hooked on is the iced tea they have at Wawa, which is great. Tastes awesome. You can't get that in Florida. All you can get is the sweet tea or you get diet tea. You can't get real lemon iced tea. And we usually make a pilgrimage out at the beginning of the trip for a couple gallons of that and bring it to the room and leave it in their fridge.
Nice.
So, it's the different things you could do with a car, without a car, and you kind of plan around it.
So we talked about, calling down and getting, you know, asking for any specifics you'd like when you roam. And you know what? Some people may not. I don't do that every trip. A lot of times when you do the online check-in, it'll ask you if you want a specific building or specific section. And it'll ask you if you want ground floor or an upstairs floor or near transportation. So a lot of those things you can pick without calling the resort. The only time I'd call the resort if it's something very specific.
And it can't hurt to double check something. If you check something off that is really very important to you on that online check-in, it doesn't hurt to call the hotel and kind of confirm that either. They're not going to mind, and it gives you a peace of mind, so it's worth it.
Sure. Or if you have, like, you booked your trip and you're going, you have multiple rooms, you're going with another family, and it wouldn't hurt to call down beforehand and let them know that even though you're going together and they have that travel with number, whether or not you want connecting rooms or adjoining rooms. Some people want to be close, but they don't want to be so close that there's a door in between. So
parents with kids, that's my teenagers. I don't want the room to actually be right next door.
Right. Or I want the room next door, but it doesn't. I don't want it to connect. You know, yeah. I don't want to see them constantly. Yeah, so things like that, it's good to call and let them know.
Right, and they try to help you out, and it depends also on the time of the season, time of the year. If sure. It's super busy, more than likely you're probably not going to get helped.
Yep.
But it can't hurt to try. I've found that at Walt Disney World, out of anywhere, it does not hurt to ask. I will ask about the most mundane or the most extravagant things very nicely and very politely. But you're always just surprised at the things that they would then do or let you do or give you. So never be afraid to ask.
I've heard people say that you should, not that you should, but it's always good to ask for an upgrade.
Right, exactly. You know, they can only say no.
Because you never know. You may not say anything about it, and then the next person behind you walks up and they say, oh, you know what? We're out of rooms. We're going to have to put you at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I had that. Some clients I booked, they were booked at Coronado, and they got there, and they didn't have rooms. They had booked and wanted to all be together. They had four rooms, and they were supposed to be together in the same area, and they didn't have it available for them. I don't think she really complained. She just, you know, was kind of disappointed about it and said, you know what? We'll take care of it. And they picked them up in a van, brought them all to Animal Kingdom Lodge and put them there at no extra cost.
Right. And it's a matter of you hear those stories all the time. So, again, at Walt Disney World, if you...
Never happens to me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It never happens to me.
Yeah. Well, you'll be so surprised when it does, though.
That's true. That's true. And I always feel awkward asking about it, or asking for an upgrade. But, you know, I've heard that it doesn't hurt to ask.
I usually use the pronoun rule. The pronoun rule says that if you have to ask something awkward, well, you make it so that somebody else told you that. I heard, or my travel agent said, that when I get down here, I should ask for an upgrade just to see if there might be one available, because sometimes there are. You could even do it that plainly.
Sure.
I wouldn't, but you could.
Thanks. I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure those people working the front desk at Disney get way more outlandish requests than that.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's why, like I said, always be polite, you know, because they deal with such outrageous people sometimes. I see these arguments and discussions and such that you got to think they got to be at least a little thankful that somebody nice and pleasant is in front of them.
Sure. Absolutely. And that's one thing I definitely... I always try and, you know, it seems like when you're in Disney, it seems like 90% of the cast members go out of their way to be nice and pleasant. So I definitely return it. I definitely try and be extra nice and pleasant to the cast members.
I agree totally.
And you can see the appreciation on their face. You can see that they want to be nice and they want to talk to you. And if you just give a little bit back, you can actually have some great experiences with them.
Right. I totally agree. And again, as I make my list for other shows, that's another show, because cast member interaction is a show in itself.
Absolutely.
So that's show number 51. That is the process we go through pretty much as far as planning our trip. And as we get closer and closer to the final date of leaving, things we do. I'm sure.
Woo-hoo!
I know, because we actually are doing these things. It's awesome. Right. Now, I tell you what, I'm sure we must have missed something. So please give us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know what we missed. Let us know some special traditions that you go through in your planning process. Something that would be really kind of nice to share with all our friends. Or you could stop by our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds group page, or the Disney Nerds podcast page, and leave your comments there.
And you can also follow us on Twitter, @TheDisneyNerds.
And we're not sure, but follow us and look for information on the Facebook page or on the show next week. We're trying to set ourselves up so that at our Illuminations meet on October 3rd, and then again at the scavenger hunt, at least for the award ceremony, we're going to try to do some live streaming from the parks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I hope it works out. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Kongaloosh.
Guaharini.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So